All right, we are starting Perek Gimel. So, remember, we're speaking about Yehoram. There were two Yehorams, and I said that that's going to become a little bit confusing. There's Yehoram. Yehoram is Melech Yisrael, and then there's Yehoram, Melech Yehuda. So we're speaking about Yehoram, the son of Ahav. Remember, Ahav has a son. His first son is Ahaziah. Ahaziah is king. Ahaziah is the last narrative that we saw in which he goes to the Nevi'eh Baal Zvuv instead of going to the Nevi'eh Hashem. Eliyahu meets him on the way, and that whole story. So now we are by Yehoram. V'Yehoram ben Achav malach al Yisrael b'Shomron b'shnah 18 le'Yehoshaphat melech Yehuda v'imloch 12 shana. So Yehoram lives, remember, at the same time as Yehoshaphat. Yehoshaphat, as we pointed out, lives through a lot of these kings. Okay, Yehoshaphat has a long tenure, and so does Asa. Remember, Asa lived through five different Malchei Yisrael. Yehoshaphat also lives and is connected and has his family bind between him and Malchei Yisrael as well. So he's king. Vayaseh hara b'nei Adonai rak lo ke'aviv u'ki'imo vayaser es matzevas abal asher asa aviv. So it sounds like he's a pretty bad guy, but he's not as bad relatively to his father, and he actually gets rid of the matzeva of Baal, which is not a small thing, right? We saw how deep Baal had seeped into the Shomron culture, and to get rid of that is not a small doing. But he didn't stop all of the other Avodah Zara, which was going on since the time of Yeravam. We pointed out, Chevra, that when Achav and Yehoshaphat were king, they were powerful. They had power, they had koach amongst all of the different mamlachot around, Moab, Edom, Ammon, and that was the case for Moab as well. That was the case for Malchei Yisrael as well. And so we hear about this king, Mesha, the king of Moab, and Mesha was, they had this tax that they would give, an enormous amount, this huge amount of money, right, in cattle, right? Mea elef karim, mea elef elim tzamer, okay, 200,000 of these animals, that's a huge, huge tax. But when Achav passes away, and we already saw this with Ahaziah, is that Moab says, you know, I'm not so scared of your son, and I'm definitely not scared of this second son of Yehoram. So what happens when they rebel against you? You want to put out the rebellion as quick as possible. So we see Pasuk Vav. Vayetze Hamelech Yehoram Bayom Ahu Mishomron Vayifkod Eskol Yisrael. Yehoram wants to get rid of this rebellion very, very fast. So he gets together, he puts together the entire army. Vayelech vayishlach al Yehoshaphat melech Yehuda limor. Melech Moab pashabi. So Yehoram goes to Yehoshaphat and he says, Moab has rebelled against me. Hatelechi ti al Moab lemilchama. Are you going to go out and fight with me in this war? Vayomer ele kamoni kamocha kaami kaamecha kisusai kisusecha. Chavra, does this sound familiar? Okay, this is exactly what happened with Achav. Achav goes to Yehoshaphat. He says, are you going to go out to war with me? And Yehoshaphat says, of course, kisusai kisusecha. Right? And we see that they have this kirva. And although the Nevi'im, time after time, told Yehoshaphat, you got to separate yourself from this, Yehoshaphat felt that the achdus between these families and bringing Am Yisrael together was more important. Either way, they go out to this war together. Vayomer eze haderech na'ale, vayomer derech midbar Edom. So they're trying to figure out what is the best way to go to Moab and Ammon. Okay? Chevra, we know Eretz Yisrael. Okay, we're just going to do a quick map. Okay, this is Eretz Yisrael. Moab and Ammon is here. Okay? Edom is here. Okay? The land of Edom is here. So what do they say? They could come from the north, or they could come over the Transjordan. They can come over the Jordan, but when you come over the Jordan, that's not an easy thing. You don't want to start the war coming off the water, right? You could just imagine Germany and the America, that beach, right? It's not easy coming off the water to go and start this war. So they say, let's take a longer path. So we're gonna go Derech Edom. So let's take a look. Vayomer Derech Midbar Edom. Vayelech Melech Yisrael uMelech Yehuda Melech Edom uMelech Edom vayasobu Derech Shivas Yamim v'lo hayamayim lamachane ulabahima asher beraglehem. Two things that we need to point out. The first thing that we need to point out is what? Melech Yisrael, Melech Yehuda, and Melech Edom. Right? Where did he come from? Why is he involved in this war? Right? Why is he involved in this war? So as we've seen, when Am Yisrael comes into Eretz Yisrael for the first time, they have issues with all of these people, right? They try to go through Edom, they try to go through Moab, they try to go through Ammon, and everyone's giving them problems. This time, Edom doesn't give them problems. Why? Because Edom is subservient to Melech Yehuda. Remember, Yehuda is in the south. Okay, Yehoshaphat is so strong. He has this navy. He has these boats. No one's going to mess with him. So when Yehoshaphat asks Edom to come out and fight with us, that's in his best interest to do it. So it's so interesting. This is the first time that we actually see Jewish armies going ahead and joining forces with another military to go and fight against Moab and Ammon. So let's take a look. So what happens? They come, and remember, for Yehuda, it's not such a long journey, but for Malchai Yisrael, for Yehoram and his entire army, you have people that are coming from the top of Eretz Yisrael. So it took them 7 days to go through. They want to come. You're not going to come out right there. You got to come from the south. And what happens? They run out of water. They run out of water. Now, anyone who's following like the Ukrainian war a little bit, one of the biggest issues that the Russians had was what? They ran out of supplies. That's like the most basic thing, is you need to have supplies. So how is it that they ran out of water? Did they not like cheshbon in, like, we're going to need water? Okay? So it's very weird. What happened? Was this a nace? Okay? It's definitely something to think about. And Mistama, the answer is, Chavra, is that they're going up the Yarden. And the Yarden, for the most, until we get to the Dead Sea, what is the Yarden? The Yarden is drinking water. You could drink the water, okay? But we know different tkufas throughout the summer, there's some areas which the Yarden is full, and there's some areas which is totally dried up. And when you're going through the Midbar, it's very possible that they thought that there was going to be water there, right, from the Yarden, and there just wasn't water, okay? So that's probably what happened. Pasuk Yud. Vayomer Melech Yisrael, aha ki kara Adonai l'shloshes hamalachim ha'ela latet otam biyad Moav. Right, so Yehoram like starts having sveikos. He says like, all of these kings we got together to go and fight against Moab, and this is what's happening. This is what Hashem is doing to us. All of this, just we went through all of this koach to just lose so badly. Vayomer Yehoshaphat, ha'ein po navi. So once again, Yehoshaphat, just like in the story of Ahav, what does he say? Let's go ask a navi. What should we do? What is the question here? What should we do? What does that mean? What should we do? Should we go back? Because if you continue with an army that hasn't drinking in days, it's essentially suicide. So should we continue or should we turn around? That's what the question is. So Yehoshaphat says, okay, let's ask Hashem. V'nid yoshar sadanoi me'oso. Vayan echad me'avdei melech Yisrael vayomer. Po Elisha ben Shaphat asher yatzak mayim al yidei Eliyahu. Finally, Elisha's here. Now this is his moment to shine. And remember, we pointed out that Elisha was a little bit different than Eliyahu, right? Elisha, instead of taking the water away, he brought the water. He was supposed to specifically be a person of the people. So let's take a look at what he does. Vayomer Yehoshaphat, Yesho so dvar Adonai ve'erduei lav, Melech Yisrael v'Yehoshaphat u'melech Edom. Just remember, point out that who suggests to go to Elisha? Was it the king? No. No. Remember, because Yehoram, the sons of Omri, the grandchild of Omri, they don't have the best relationship with the Nevi'im. Okay, so it's not Yehoram who's suggesting this. It's one of these servants. He says, like, oh yeah, Elisha's here. So anyways, they go down. Vayomer Elisha al Melech Yisrael, Ma li v'lach, what are you doing here? Lechel nevi'ei avicha, go to your father's nevi'im. Who is he talking about? Go to Achav's nevi'im, right? Vel nevi'ei imecha, and your mother's nevi'im, right? Izebel, go there. What are you coming to me for, right? Vayomer lo Melech Yisrael al kikara adonai l'shloshes ha-malachim ha'ila l'seisos ha-biad mo'av. And he complains, he continues to complain. What? No. Don't bring that up right now. Now I'm here. I'm asking. Okay? Don't like bring up what was. What's going on right now? Is this the destiny? Are we all gonna die? Vayomer Elisha, Chai Adonai, Tzivaos Asher Amadeti Lefanav, Kilule Pnei Yehoshaphat Melech Yehuda Ninose, Imabite Lacha Vimereka. This has like a scent of Eliyahu, right? He says, if Yehoshaphat wasn't here, I wouldn't even be listening to you. I honestly have no rachamim for you. So this sounds like a lot more like Eliyahu. Eliyahu is the kanoi. So yes, Elisha is going to take a different derech, but he definitely has that element of a kanoi. So, but why is he going to answer him? Because he realizes that Yehoshaphat is here. Yehoshaphat was sincere about asking what Hashem wants. Vata, chuli menagein v'haya kenagein ha-menagein v'tihya elav yad Adonai. This is something that we don't see by Eliyahu. What don't we see by Eliyahu? Eliyahu doesn't need a menagein. He doesn't need music. Remember, this isn't the first time, it's not the last time in the Navi where we're going to hear about Nevi'im needing a certain trigger to have Nevuah, right? In this week's Parsha even, in a different way with Yitzchak, what happens to Yitzchak? Yitzchak asks to what? To eat before he gives over the brachos. Why does he need to eat? Matamim. So the Midrash says that part of the reason is because a person needs to be in a certain mood in order to get nevuah. So Elisha needs this as well. So he brings this menagin. Vayomer ko amar Adonai. So he sees this nevuah. He hears this nevuah and he says, Asa hanachal hazeh givim givim. Right now you see this valley, this desert is empty of water. Very soon there's going to be a lot of water. Kiko amar Adonai lo tiru ruach velo tiru geshem. You're not going to see rain. You're not going to see wind. V'hanach alahu yemalei mayim ushesisem atem umiknechem ubehemtechem. And you're going to see an unbelievable miracle. And what is that unbelievable miracle going to be? The valley is going to fill up with water. Now, however, what happens? There's not ruach, there's not geshem. Where does the water come from? Where does the water come from? Huh? It rains somewhere else. However, this is like basic Eretz Yisrael Yedios, okay? In Midbar Yehuda, there is what is called flash floods. And what are those flash floods? Totally random. Any time that it rains anywhere north of Hebron, Yerushalayim, the rain will just literally come. Afterwards, you can look up on YouTube what a flash flood looks like. It is merciless, okay? It very often kills people. It just comes out of nowhere. So, yes, it was a nace that was about to happen, but it was going to happen through a tool, which, right, that... Where else do we see flash floods in the Tanakh? Something that we see every, right? Where else do we see flash floods? When do we speak about flash floods? Okay, it's a Perek Tehillim that you guys say at least 500 times a year. Come on, 500 times a year you say it. No, come on, flash floods. Huh? Shir HaMaos B'Shuv HaShem HaShiv HaSiyon HaYinu K'cholmim Az Yimal Eschok Pino L'Shon Einu Rina. What is Ka'afikim Banegev? Bring back the people of that are stuck in Bavel, that are stuck in Golos, not like little drops of rain, like flash floods. Ka'afikim Banegev. So Elisha says there's going to be a flash flood. That's essentially what he's saying, and this is going to be from Hashem, and you're going to drink. Okay. And you're also going to be successful in this war. Okay. He says, and you know what? That's not going to only be it. Destroy everything. Destroy mamish aleph ve'ataf. Not only aleph ve'ataf. What's a little bit challenging about this pasuk? There's something over here which alpi din Torah is not so pasuk. The trees, Say, for Dvarim, we're told that a Jew is not, when we go out to war, you are not allowed to cut down trees. Okay, what kind of trees? For the fruit-bearing trees. Okay? And many of the Rishonim understand that that has to do with Baal Tashchis. So why is it that Elisha is telling this, telling Am Yisrael to get rid of the tree? So there's a wide range of the Mefarshim say either A, the Ralbag says that it was that really it was a horasha, they weren't really allowed to do it. Some of the other Mefarshim say other things, but Bistama it was a horasha. Elisha wanted to show that Moab that really this was a fight against Hashem, and keep that in mind for a second. Keep that in mind. Why is this a fight against Hashem? Hare, really, this is just a fight against what? It's a fight against Malchai Yisrael and Malchai Yehuda. This isn't a fight against Hashem. Why do I say that it's a fight against Hashem? We'll see in just a second. Okay? Vayhi baboker, ka'alos ha-mincha v'inei mayim ba'im miderech adom v'timalei ha-aretz es ha-mayim. Unbelievable. They wake up in the morning, flash flood. I hope they got out of the way. V'chol Moav shamu ki alu amlachin li lachim bam, v'yitzaku mikol choger chagora v'mala v'yamdu al hagvul. And what happens? They're standing and they're getting ready. They also see the water. Okay? Now, at this point, it's clear that they're not southern to Moav. Okay, Moav is over here. They probably came up and they're probably somewhere, it could be even around. Okay? Because let's see what happens. They're in the valley. They're in some valley. They're not on the Yarden. The Yarden's over here. They're in some sort of some other valley. And they wake up. They wake up and they see that all of these kings are here to fight against us. They all get ready. What happens, Chevra? They see the water that came from this flash flood, and what do they see? They see that it's red. Why is it red? Why is it red? Vayomru, dam ze hacharev nechrevu hamalachim vayaku ish esreu va'atal l'shalal Moav. They assume what happens. Okay, the Jews bechlal they don't get along. The Jews. Now you add Edom to that. What happened? They ended up fighting themselves. They killed each other. Now all the blood is filling up this valley. Now what are they really seeing? Either, meaning really the same, is that Hashem makes this nace that the water looks red. But also anyone who's ever been in that area of Eretz Yisrael knows that the rocks there are red. Okay? So it's not a pella that the valley looks red. Okay? One way or another, it's a nace, not a nace, but that's what they assume. They assume that Am Yisrael has, so they sort of take down their guard. Vayavo amachane Yisrael, vayakumu Yisrael, vayaku es Moav, vayanusu mnehem, vayakuba vayakos es Moav. So what do? They come and they figure that they're just going to pick up everything that's left over, pick up all the booty of war, and they come and Am Yisrael is there and they're ready and they shech them. Ve'arim yaharosu v'chol chelka tova yashlichu ish avano umilua v'chol mayan mayim yistomu v'chol etz tov yapilu ad hishir avanea bakir charashes v'yasuba klayim v'yakua mamish me'alev v'atav. They're destroying Moav. Now this is a chiddush, chevra. Why is this a chiddush? Because we're told in the Torah, Moshe is told that what? That you do not go through Moav. You don't go through Moav. Moav and Ammon, that land was given to them. Why? Who are they the descendants of, Moav and Ammon? Of Lot. Lot was given that chelka. And when Am Yisrael tries to come into Eretz Yisrael and they go through Ammon and Moav, Hashem says, don't, there's no war with them. Right? There's a peace treaty, Avram and Lot, forever. Right? Now over here, the chiddush that Elisha is saying, it's this whole thing is a begeder horasha, that we're going to destroy Moab ad asof. So they're losing this war terribly. Moab is losing this war terribly. Across the entire battlefield in the different cities, they're getting destroyed. So now let's take a look at this, and this part of the story is unbelievable. Pasuk Kavav. Vayar melech Moab ki chazak mimeno hamelchama. Mesha sees that the war is just, it's overwhelming him on all different, levels. Vayikach oso shvamos ish sholeif cherev lahavkia el melech edom v'lo yecholum. So what do they want to do? Remember, we saw this by Achav. When you kill a king, what happens? You change the narrative of what's going on. You change the ruach, what's going on in the battle. You change the what's the word that I'm looking for?
Morale.
Huh?
Morale.
The morale, but it's even more than that. You change in sports, if a team has all of the all the momentum. So you're changing the war. You're changing the momentum of the war. If I'm out, okay. Now, so that's what they want to do. So he brings this huge group of soldiers just to go and make sure to go and fight against Melech Edom. Now, why do they go and fight against Melech Edom? Istama, he was the weakest of those three kings. But they're not able to. They're not able to break through the barriers of the war. So now, so what do they do? Pasuk of Zion. Vayikach es beno habachor asher yimloch tachtav vaya'aleu ola al hachoma vayhi ketzef gadol al Yisrael vayisu me'alav vayashuvu la'aretz. What the heck happens here? What happens here? They're clearly fighting for one last city. They're fighting for one last city. They're fighting over a walled-in city. And Melech Moav, I want you guys to tell me, what does Melech Moav do here? Read the pasuk and tell me what he does. Vayikach es beno habachor asher yimloch tachtav. Rashi brings two different shitos. Let's try to understand. Let's just translate the pasuk. He takes the bechor that's going to reign after him, and he brings him up as an ola on the choma. Essentially, he kills someone on the top of the wall. Vayi ketzef gadol al Yisrael. What's the ketzef? Ketzef is the anger of who? Ketzef throughout the Tanakh is ketzef of Hashem. There was ketzef from Hashem. And this act of Mesha was successful. The war stops. Am Yisrael moves away. So what happens here? So Rashi brings two different pshatim, both that are brought in the Gemara. The Gemara says that there were two options. The first option was that, the first possibility is that he takes his own bechor. He takes his own firstborn. And he shechs him. He shechs him on the top of the wall. Now, the Gemara asks, if that's the case, so then what is the Ketzef Gadol al Yisrael about? Man, what's the problem? So what's the possibility? What's the issue here? Why is Hashem upset at Am Yisrael because this guy is shechting his son? So Gemara says two things. The first thing is that it's possible, the Gemara says the following, that this is like a deep midrash, but essentially Moav is trying to figure out, Melech Moav Mesha is trying to figure out what exactly he can do to get the anger against Am Yisrael. Because when you get Hashem angry against Am Yisrael, so then that's how they lose wars, right? We know that with Bilam and Balak. So they start having this, once again in Drash, they start having this conversation. What's the teva of this nation that Am Yisrael, that Hashem loves them so much? So one of the advisors there goes ahead and says that Avraham shechted his own son. And so Mesha goes ahead and shechs his own son. Now, so then why is there ketzef al Am Yisrael? There's ketzef al Am Yisrael, says Rashi, and the first opinion is why? Is because it's reminding Hashem that Am Yisrael isn't doing Ratzon Hashem. Right? It's reminding Hashem that Am Yisrael isn't doing Ratzon Hashem. Not like Avram. It doesn't have to do with him shechting the son. It's just like that's the first opinion. Second opinion is that it's an Avodah Zarah. However, we know Molech. Okay, we know a lot of Avodah Zarahs have to do with children sacrifices. Okay, this kid clearly wasn't a child. But what happens is that it was some form of Avodah Zarah. So now why would that bring the Ketzev upon Am Yisrael? Also, right? It sort of reminds Hashem that Am Yisrael is also involved in Avodah Zarah. Those are the two pshatim that are brought down in the Midrash, and that's what Rashi brings. The Radak and many of the other Mefarshei pshat say none of that makes any sense. None of that seems to be like even the pshat, meaning like, why is there Ketzef? What's going on? So the Radak suggests, and I think this is this seems to be the simple reading of the Psukim, is that what? I'm not going to say Pshuto Shel Nikra, but it seems to be the simple reading. Who's killing who? Okay. Who's killing who? Let's read it again. Vayikach es bino habachor. Who were they trying to kill before? Who was Mesha trying to kill before? He was trying to kill the king of Edom. He's not successful. So what's second? He kills the son of Edom. And now why is there a ketzef? It's not the ketzef of Hashem. Why is there ketzef? It's the ketzef of Edom, right? It's the ketzef of Edom against who? Against Am Yisrael. Why? You let this happen. My own son is killed. My own son is killed. That's what the Radak says, and I think that's now it's very interesting. There's a few questions that we have left to deal with, and then I want to tell you guys something with the last 3 minutes. The first question is like, didn't Elisha say they were going to win this war?
They kind of won.
They won?
He didn't say they won. He just gave them one.
It's no. He said they're going to win. They're going to destroy everything. Yeah, but they also leave when this ketzef happens. So, anyways, okay, let's leave that. Let's leave that for a second. Let's leave that. You want to ask a question? Okay. Chavra, with the last 3 minutes, we said pshatim hamischachim b'chol yom. Pshatim hamischachim b'chol yom. There is maybe the most important, one of the most important archaeological finds that changed mamish. It changed the way that the secular science of archaeology looked at Am Yisrael. In 1868, they were doing digs in Jordan, okay? And they found what is called Mesha's steel. Okay, Mesha's steel, it looks like the Luchos. It's like a big thing like this. It's like a matzeva, and a lot of Arcadian writing on it. They translated the Arcadian writing, and what does it say? It speaks about Mesha. It speaks about the sons of Omri, who obviously is Achav. And it speaks about how he went out to war against them, and he was successful, and he went and he rebelled against them. And why was he rebelling against them? And why were they originally subservient to them? He says over there, and he mentions Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. He mentions Shem Hashem, the God of the Jews. He says, because Am Yisrael was doing the right thing, so they were subservient to us, right? And now, since now we're subservient to our God, maybe this whole thing with the shechita or something, right? Then things changed. Then things changed, and we were able to go and fight it. So now, Chavra, I asked you why did Elisha feel like this was like he needed to do this horasha of like totally destroying Moab? Okay, why? Because it's a fight against Hashem. Understand? It's not a fight against Am Yisrael. It's a fight against Hashem. I think, is that a pshatim ha-mischachim b'chol yom? The Rishonim didn't have that tool. They didn't see the steel of, they didn't know what was going on in Moab's head. Right? And now we have it. It's unbelievable. Guys, I'll show you the picture afterwards. It's mamish unbelievable. It relates, it says Omri's name. It says Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. It says Mesha's name. Chavra, these stories, they're real. They're there. It's amazing. Tov, shkoyach. We'll pick this up next time.